Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for having folks here who just care. We don't have to know them. We just know that deep down in our hearts, we love everyone because that's how you want us to be. Help us, Father, to get rid of all of these differences and all these things that we don't care about, and just remember that you made us all and that you sent Jesus into this world to die for all of us. And it's not our business to discriminate because they look different or they act different or they smell different. That this is about us loving people simply because you loved us first. And that's why Jesus died. Dear God, if it means breaking our hearts so that we can understand this, then let it be so. But more than that, Father, open our eyes to the simple fact that you paved the way and we're supposed to follow. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in the midst of Acts chapter 15. For those of you that might be listening on the radio now, you guys can't see it on a screen yet, but coming soon to a theater near you, namely the screen back behind me, we'll have this thing back up and going. We will feature three different passages from the book of Acts in chapter 15. We'll use verses 12 through 13 kind of to set things up. Then we'll feature verses 13 through 18, and we'll finish with verses 19 through 21. And this is an ongoing story. We're not going to be done after today's lesson. We'll just go to the next below. And we'll continue to look at God's plan for His people, which is us, as laid out in the book of Acts, the history of God's church. So in Acts chapter 15, we've kind of been talking about a problem that's developed. And believe it or not, in the middle of that prayer that you just were a part of, when I started talking about we need to stop worrying about their color or their political persuasion or whatever it might be, that's really what's at play right here in Acts chapter 15. Because you see, there's this group of people that has spent a long, long, long time thinking they were better than everybody else. And they thought they had God's word that said that. That they were elite. And that everybody else was nobody. Now those gentlemen, those ladies, whoever they were, never spent time really listening to God. Because God's first promise in the Garden of Eden to Satan himself is, I'm going to send a seed through the woman, and that seed's going to ruin you, and everybody will be okay because of him. He's talking to Satan about the coming of Jesus. First prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. And then in Genesis 12, he picks on a boy by the name of Abram, later calls him Abraham, and he makes a promise. And it is the promise that God is fulfilling through these people that think they're so special. That I'm going to pick out a boy, and that boy will come born of a virgin. And through him, everybody, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Everybody, including folks who live in Ava, Missouri, because we're Gentiles. And what is so important about your study here in Acts chapter 15 is they're talking about us, people. This is about us. They don't want you involved with it. These are the Jews, and they think they're elite. They think that God has singled them out. They're the only ones. And if you want to sort of kind of get close, you got to do everything we got to do. And that's what Acts chapter 15 is all about. Because you see, they have challenged God. That was the lesson 2 weeks ago. How dare you tell God what to do? That's what Peter essentially says. How on earth can you tell God what to do? Now you need to understand that we live in a world that is intent on dividing us, of telling us that we cannot do something. And God is the one that has laid down the pattern, not some human being. So get back to the Word and leave the other stuff aside, which is what we now do. Let's begin in verse 10 of Acts chapter 15, where these were the words from Peter. Peter's the first boy that gets up and talks. And the reason it's important that Peter's the first boy that gets up and talks to this group who really want to say you got to keep the law, that salvation is somehow in circumcision, somehow in that cutting. which is just the start of the covenant that God made with the children of Israel, with Abraham. That's it. It's all it really was. But they want to say it applies to everybody. All human beings, all boys have to go through that process. And then the entire family, you got to trail after those Ten Commandments. And if you're in the Sunday morning class, you got to follow up all the other thousand of them that are there. You got to keep all those things. And God comes along and God says, I have another way. And that other way is my son Jesus, who you killed, who was put in the tomb, and on the third day he arose. That's who you follow. This bunch comes along and says, nope, 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 nope. Even if you do that, you also have to do all that other stuff. Verse 10, Peter says, now therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing on the neck of the disciples a yoke that neither our ancestors nor we have been able to bear? On the contrary, we believe that we will be saved. They're saying you're going to be saved by circumcision, by keeping the law of Moses. Peter, who is the man who stood up on the day of Pentecost. Peter, John, who was the boy that looked at those Gentiles and said, because God had told him, you can eat pulled pork sandwiches. It was Peter that was picked to do that. He got to talk to the Jews first. Then he had to be forced to go talk to the Gentiles. That was that vision, remember, earlier in the study of the history of the church where Peter refused God. Peter refused God. And finally, the third time around, he finally got the idea pulled pork sandwiches were okay to eat. And if you don't understand this, you got to ask everybody in the building. Because I hope by now you've figured out the fact that God opened up religion for everybody. And that's you that's under discussion here. These people don't want you in the church. They don't want you believing in God. They want to exclude you. If there's any time in your life in reading the Word of God that you ought to get riled up, it's right here. Because they're trying to cut you off. They couldn't keep it. Now they want to force you to keep it. And Peter just comes right out and says, we believe that we will be saved through the grace. By the word, that's a gift. You don't earn this. And the problem the Jews were failing is because they couldn't do what needed to be done. But they wanted to tell everybody else, you got to keep doing the same thing because eventually we're going to earn it somehow. And Peter finally just shucks the corn and says, it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we will be saved. That they will be saved. You know how you are saved? By God's gift of His Son. And you can keep the law all day long. And the minute you miss one of those commandments, you are lost. You have sinned. You have fallen short of the glory of God, and there ain't no hope. You hear that? There's no hope. Because God is over there and you're right here and you can't get to Him. And this is now the struggle that these men have brought into the church. They are trying to destroy Christianity by throwing out the grace of God through His Son Jesus Christ and returning you to a, how many laws have you kept today? How many regulations did you get right? Because what we want to do is we want to approach the throne of God and say, God, I demand heaven. And God's going to look at you and smile and say, what about the one that you messed up on? Now, most of us will do a little worse than that. Joe's got about 500 million of them that I've messed up on, because I'll be honest about it. I mess up every day. And I've been alive 5,000 years. So there's a bunch of them out there. But the grace of God has been given to me through His Son Jesus. This is what Peter's arguing. This is he lays out. Now let's get on with it. Acts chapter 15, verse 12. After Peter finishes. Now remember, this has been a wild and turbulent bunch. They've been in dissension. They've been discussing. They've been arguing. This group over here that wants to bring the law of Moses in. Boy, they're over there just, I can't believe he's saying that. No, you can't believe. You got to do it this way. You got to do it this way. There's commotion going on in the church. This sounds like a regular fellowship deal, doesn't it? You got people talking here, people talking there. They're disagreeing. They're red-faced. They're pounding on the table. They're saying it's got to be done this way. And then Peter stands up to speak and everybody shuts up and they listen to him. And he stands up there and he tells him about Jesus and what Jesus has done and that grace comes by God through Jesus. When they finish, verse 12, here the lesson begins. The whole assembly, everybody there, kept silence. All of a sudden, Peter stands up and Peter utters these words that we read a couple weeks ago, that we read out in front of the lesson today. And when he finishes by saying, it is by God's gift through the Son of Jesus Christ that we're saved, everybody in the room shuts up. You know, sometimes in the midst of an argument, the best thing you can do is shut up and listen and let God speak. Because that's exactly what's going to happen now. The whole assembly kept silent and listened to Barnabas and to Paul. Peter stands up. He represents what we consider to be the start of God's family, the history of God's family laid out on the day of Pentecost. And yes, to that pork-eating Gentile. He's the guy that starts it all. He gets up and talks, and now all of a sudden we call upon Barnabas and Paul. Notice that Barnabas is lead here. It says Barnabas and Paul, because Barnabas was respected by the church in Jerusalem. That's not an accident in the text. That's there for a reason. Because Barnabas is the one who actually introduced Paul to the church in Jerusalem. Barnabas is the one who was so loving and caring for people. Barnabas is the one that opened up the whole idea of helping people in need. It was Barnabas that did this. And Barnabas stands up and he says, let me tell you what's been going on in Asia Minor. Let me take you to the area we call Turkey. Let me talk to you what's happening in Antioch. Let me carry you to those places that we've been in the island and then moving over and going and seeing these people and watching Gentiles respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. People want Jesus. Paul follows along and does the same thing. Listen to Barnabas and Paul as they told of all the signs and wonders that God had done. Important you catch this now. Barnabas and Paul stand up there and say, now you got to understand something. When we went over to these cities that we've been at, God's hand came down and he healed people. God's hand came down and people who were sick were all of a sudden okay. God is moving amongst the Gentiles. You really want to play with God? That's how Peter put it. And now Paul and Barnabas are going to say the same thing. When we went to these places, God's hand came down. Told them of the signs and wonders that God had done through them among the Gentiles. Second group. Barnabas and Paul, and all they do is get you, guess what happened when we went across the road to Cyprus and then went across that little strait and ended up in Turkey? People who ate pork sandwiches listened to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God's hand came down. Verse 13, and after they'd finished speaking, James replied, my brothers, listen to me. Who is James? James is going to be one of the most important men in this conversation. Might have known Jesus a little bit. Might have been familiar with Jesus somewhat. Some might even say he might have been related to Jesus. Did I say that right? Is that right? Don over there's got it. He's a brother of Jesus. Now, before you think James is super Christian, you got to understand that until Jesus was resurrected, James didn't believe him. James didn't believe he was the Son of God. James watched Jesus grow up. James was kind of sitting on the outside. James is the boy that came with his mother when Jesus was up there teaching and everybody wanted everything dropped so that he'd see his mama and his brothers. And Jesus said, no, 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 no. You are my brothers. You are my mother. You're my family. They're going to have to come along eventually. And James did. And James will become one of the most important people in the New Testament, especially in the church of Jerusalem, for the words he's about to utter. He also writes another book, I think, might be found in the New Testament. Am I right about that, Scott? I think Scott just finished teaching that with the kids. Somebody said it might even been the first book that was actually written in the New Testament. It's written by this boy right here. James replied, "My brothers, listen to me. Simon," which by the way is Peter, Peter's got a couple of names, and Simon's one of them, "has related how God first loved favorably," or looked favorably on the Gentiles, "to take from among them a people for his name. This agrees with the words of the prophet, as it is written, 'After this I will return, and I will rebuild the dwelling of David, which has fallen from its ruins. I will rebuild it, and I will set it up.'" So that all other peoples... James is quoting Old Testament prophecy. And he says, "so that all other peoples may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles, all of those pulled pork sandwich eating people over whom my name has been called, even all the Gentiles whom my name has been called. Thus says the Lord, who has been making these things known for a long time." I'm going to say it real simple. You know what? God has been planning to allow the Gentiles into this thing called a relationship with Him since very early on. You ought not to be surprised. You should not be standing around here trying to force them into your religion, because it has been God's plan since the get-go to get these people under the same umbrella that we're under. And the umbrella that we're under is the grace of God given to us through His Son Jesus Christ. It ain't in some law given on Mount Sinai. It is through the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I extended that a little bit, but that's exactly where James is going. He says, God has said since early on, I'm going to make this for everybody. And folks, that's us. They wanted you excluded. They came so you couldn't get it done, so it would be impossible for you to be able to do all this stuff. That was their goal. And if you don't believe me, you just wait for a chapter or two and see how this plays out. And then James says in verse 19 through 21, "Therefore, I've reached the decision that we should not trouble those Gentiles who are turning to God." Now, this isn't just James' decision. This is the consensus of those men who are responsible for deciding how God will deal with human beings. That was the point of the gathering. You got that? James looks around the room. The decision that we should not trouble those Gentiles who are turning to God, but we should write to them to abstain only from things polluted by the idols and from fornication and from whatever else has been strangled with blood. For in every city for generations past, Moses has had those who proclaim him, for he has been read aloud every Sabbath in the synagogues. Couple of things here. Basic concepts. That's it. That's it. Did you hear a word in there about keeping the Sabbath? You didn't, did you? Because that wasn't in there, was it? Not there. It wasn't there. Pick up that law of Moses and read from cover to cover. And the only things in there had to do with how you dealt with a certain kind of animal. And how you dealt with those things that were offered on an altar. And Paul will write about this later on. about the struggle that people are still having with this as it gets to Corinth and other places. This is going to be an issue. This thing ain't done. Pure and simple. Three people stand up. Actually, four if you want to count Paul and Barnabas as two, because they really are. You start with Peter, who just stands up and says, "Listen, guys, I was the first person asked by God to stand up and talk. Delivered the first lesson ever preached that we call the gospel. That happened on the day of Pentecost. And that's how you got here." He's talking to the people in Jerusalem. He's talking to the Jews. And he says, "You guys would not have been here if I and the other apostles didn't stand up on that day of Pentecost and proclaim unto you the simple fact that you killed God's Son." Let's get down to what motivated you. It wasn't trying to keep some law that led you to find God. It was understanding that you killed God's Son. That's why you are sitting in this church house right now. He's looking right at the Jews when he says it. And all of a sudden when he finishes, he says, "It's not by the keeping of some law, it's by the grace of Jesus Christ that we have been saved. What saves you is God's gift, His Son Jesus." That is clear as could be, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And nothing more. Then he follows up with Paul and Barnabas, and all they do is they say, "Look, we have gone to the Gentile world, and they are hungry. They are starving for news about God and His Son Jesus, and they are coming just like you came. And while we're in the midst of doing this, God's hand stretched out, and God said, 'This is right,' because we were healing people. We were doing all kinds of things," except they don't use the word "we." They say it was God. And then James stands up. James is the Old Testament Bible scholar. And he says, "God's been saying this for a long time. Pay attention." You know why Bible study is so important, folks? You know why picking up your Bible and reading it on a regular basis is critical? This reason right here. These people thought they knew what was right. They had been told by a lot of people, "This is the way it is. Listen to me." They had listened to their preachers. And they hadn't studied it themselves. And they bought what they were being told, hook, line, and sinker. Shame on them. And shame on you if you don't pick up the Word of God and rightly divide the Word of truth. Folks, I can lie to you. I can mislead you. I can be wrong. You hear that? These people who've made this mess are not going to give up. They are going to follow Christianity all the way to the other side of the world, doing everything they can to divide it, to bind it back to a law that had failed, because that's what they felt comfortable with. This isn't about being comfortable. This is about being right with God's Word, isn't it? And that responsibility is yours. I work trying to get this right, but my tongue tangles more times than you'll ever know unless you open the Word and read it yourself. The problem with these people is they just bought what they'd been told all their lives. They'd been told this all their lives, and all their lives they were wrong. That's happening in this world right now today. Why do you think there are so many of these little church houses scattered out all over the world. It's a shame where we are. And we're there because people themselves do not pick up God's Word and open it up and read it. You do not have to be a rocket scientist to understand what Barnabas and Paul and Peter and James just said. They just said, without Jesus, there is no hope. We are all saved by God's gift, His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? So why are we chasing all this other stuff? It is about Jesus and what He did. There's your lesson. But I'm here to tell you the book doesn't stop here. We think this thing's settled, but we're going to roll on for several more chapters, and this fight, this issue of whether or not you got to do it this way is going to grow, it's going to blossom, it's going to get bigger. And these people are just looking at us and saying, this is about Jesus and nobody else. And anybody that tries to introduce anything outside of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice is lying to you. Now, I'm trying to say this as simply as I can so you understand this. They are lying to you. But don't you dare accept my word. Pick the book up and read it. Because God is a genius. And what He writes, you can understand. Amen? There's your lesson. We are done. God's not done with the history of church. Now you got to figure out how this is going to sort, don't you? That's next week. As we start to sort this out, after they very simply say, it's by the grace of God through His Son Jesus that we are saved. If you are wondering what that is, it's the same thing Peter said on the day of Pentecost. When they found out they were responsible for killing the Son of God, they said simply, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? You get that? Simple question. Men and women, what must we do to be saved? This is what we're looking at here in chapter 15. You're saved by circumcision. You're saved by the law. You're saved by the grace of God through His Son, Jesus. What's Peter say? Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Read it. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You go read it, and you see if I'm lying to you. The simple question, what do you do to be saved? You rely upon God's gift, His Son Jesus, who died for you. Now, you want to dig deeper? You go read Romans chapter 6, and it will tell you that you die to your sins just like Jesus did. You are buried just like Jesus was in the watery grave of baptism. And you arise, you are resurrected to walk in newness of life. And at that point in time, God's Spirit comes home to be in you. You read it. Don't let my words lead you. Go read Romans 6 verses 1 through 10. Go read Colossians 2, 12. I invite you to open the Word. Ain't going to run from it. These people wanted to hide. Shame on them. If you have not given yourself to Jesus, if you have not died to your sins, if you have not been buried in that watery grave of baptism, you are lost. I'm not supposed to say that, am I? You're lost. There is no hope. God does not know who you are. That's the scene of judgment, by the way. This is called the invitation. And it's real simple. Book is very straightforward. You either are or you aren't. Have you given yourself to the grace of God, His gift, Jesus Christ? and done exactly what they did in Acts chapter 2 and exactly what those Gentiles did once they come to understand what Jesus had done for them. They were all baptized. They all put on Jesus. They all walked in the light of His blood. All that's book, chapter, and verse. Don't let people lead you astray with their words. Read it yourself. Don't be like these folks. And listen to the preacher. Listen to God's word. And do something about it while we stand and sing.